Good morning. That was a beautiful rendition of a song that has beautiful words about our Savior, the Lamb of God. Turn with me in your Bible to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, and then we're going to go over into chapter 3. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Chapter 3 and verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Let's bow our hearts in a moment's prayer as we come to consider God's Word. Let's pray together. Our Father, we ask that as we turn to Thy Word this morning, that we might know that we do so in Thy presence, for Thou hast promised to be in the midst. We pray that we may know that we do so under the influence and the guidance of God the Holy Spirit. We thank you that He has come to convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come, and to take of the things of Christ and to reveal them to us. Father, we ask this morning that Thy hand of blessing may be upon this service. We who are saved may rejoice in the great things that the Lord has done for us. Father, for any in this meeting who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that even today they would come to know Him. So bless us to this end. Receive our thanks for all Thy goodness to us. In Jesus' name, Amen. I want to take as my text this morning the words of verse 13 of Galatians chapter 3. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. We read in chapter 1 of the book of Galatians the background or the problem. They had heard the gospel. God had opened their hearts. They had received Christ. But now someone had come amongst them and told them that Christ wasn't sufficient. Christ wasn't enough. Let me stop for a moment and say this. There are many people today who are not saved. Not because they don't believe in Jesus Christ, but they don't believe that Jesus Christ is sufficient. They don't believe that He is enough. They want Jesus Christ plus what they can do, or plus what their church can do, or plus what their church teaches. But the Galatians were in danger of turning away from Christ. The Apostle Paul in chapter 3 in verse 1, he uses very strong language to them. He says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? And he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit to live within you by keeping the law? Or did you receive the Holy Spirit to live within you by the hearing of faith? You see, they were being told that they could only have Christ as their Savior, and it would only mean something if alongside that they kept the law. They resubmitted themselves to the law of God given by Moses. The Apostle Paul writes that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Many people don't believe there is a curse attached to the law. And so before we look at the redemption that Christ hath made for us, I want us to look this morning at what the curse of the law is. And you read that in verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. The apostle says it's very simple. If you want salvation by the works of the law, this is what God demands. He demands that you keep the law in every little point. Not that you keep it for one day. Not that you keep it for one week. but that you keep it continually as the basis of your relationship with God. Your acceptance with God is going to depend on your ability not just to keep the law, but listen to how he puts it. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do. You remember the young man who came to the Lord Jesus? And he looked at Jesus in the midst of the crowd and he said, "Good Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" It was a strange question, first of all, because inheritance is rarely, if ever, based on action. It's usually based upon relationship. But Jesus turned to the young man and he says, "What do the scriptures say? What does the law say?" And the young man quotes some of the commandments to Jesus. And Jesus said to the young man, "Now you go and do that." And the young man looked at Jesus, and I'm sure he affixed his gaze upon him with an intensity of his soul. And he says, "All these have I done from my youth up." He says, "Jesus, I've done that." And Jesus said, "Go sell all that thou hast and give to the poor." And the Word of God says that the young man went away very sorrowful, for he was very rich. You notice what this young man had done? He had chosen out for himself the commandments that he had convinced himself he had never broken. And what he was really was saying was not, "Jesus, I have kept the whole law every day of my life." He says, "Jesus, I've selected the laws that I have kept from my youth up. Tell me, which of the commandments do you think this young man was guilty of breaking? How about the first? Thou shalt have no other gods before me." He comes with an intensity. He wants to know how he can know that he has eternal life, but he leaves sad. Why? Because he loved his riches. And you don't have to stretch it very far before you can say he loved his riches more than he loved God. And he loved his riches more than he loved his own soul. James chapter 2. The Word of God says this. Verse 10, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." And if you choose to try and be saved by the works of the law, all it takes is to offend the law of God in one point. And the Word of God says you are guilty of all. And if you're guilty of all, Galatians chapter 3 says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Turn over with me to Romans chapter 8. Because when we speak of the law of God and the inability of man to be saved by keeping the law, some would turn to us and would say, well, you see, it's the law that's the problem. Listen to what Romans 8 verse 2 says. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemns sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What is the apostle saying? Is the weakness in God's law? No, it's not. Is the curse because God's law is too strict? No, it's not. The curse is because of man's inability to ever begin to keep the law. You know, when I used to speak to children, used to ask the question, how many sins does it take to keep you out of heaven? And for a long time when I asked that question, the children would put their hands up and say, one. Until one day a young man reminded me of the truth of the matter. And I asked that question, and he put up his hand and he said, none. And I stopped and I thought, that's right. That's why Psalm 51 says, I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Sin did my mother conceive me. I didn't become a sinner after I was born. I was sinful the moment I was conceived in my mother's womb. I was a stranger to God. As far away from God as Adam was after he had been driven from the garden. As far away from God as any man who has lived a long life without Christ, I was as far away from God the moment I was born as I have been at any time in my life. Why? Because by nature, I am opposed to the law of God. Unable to keep it. And it was because of that nature that God knew that I was going to commit sins. It's not that I commit sins, therefore I become sinful. It is that I am sinful, therefore I commit sins. Those who are parents among us, do you remember the hard, strenuous experiences of trying to teach your children how to do things that were wrong? You remember how you had to sit down with them and say, now God says this, But you go out and do the very opposite. How you had to teach them that disobedience was more fun than obedience. You see, it's the experience of every person that the Word of God is absolutely right and absolutely true. Now those parents who look back and they remember how frustrating it was that no matter how long you taught trying to teach the children, they would do the very opposite to what you know that you wanted and what they know you know that God wanted. Why? Because a sinful nature manifests itself in sinful acts, and one sinful act is the transgression of all the law. I said this on Wednesday night 2 weeks ago when I was speaking on Psalm 51. What we do is that we look at the sins in the lives of other people and we magnify them. And we look at the sin in our own lives and we minimize them. And we justify them. And we excuse them. Let me say this to you. When the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 3 says that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, would that have any meaning if we had never been under the curse of the law? Would it mean anything? I've told this story before. There's a seaside town in England called Southport. Many times we walk down the pathway down onto the beach, and it has very dangerous tides, rip tides. And there, hanging on the wall, is a rescue ring that you can throw out to someone who's in danger of drowning. And I heard a man, and I actually read his story in the newspaper as well, but I heard him saying that he had gone past that ring on hundreds of occasions. And he had often wondered, I wonder why they have that there. That thing never gets used. Then one day that man went out into the water. He was swimming and suddenly he was caught by a riptide. He was being pulled under the water, was in danger of drowning, and someone seeing the danger took that rescue ring and threw it to him. And they were able to pull him ashore. If you don't ever come to see that you're accursed by the law, it will never mean anything to you that Jesus died to redeem you from the curse of the law. If you never see your danger, you'll never come to understand the wonderful message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That he came into this world and he went to the cross that he might be a savior. You see, the curse of the law isn't upon a few. It's upon every man, every woman, every boy, every girl that has ever been born into this world. Because they were born with a sinful nature. And they manifest that sinful nature by sinful behavior. And they are under the curse of the law. Now that we've looked at the curse of the law, let us take a moment to look at Christ, who hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. First thing I want you to do is to note that it is a person. It's not a body of doctrine. And what a person. It's not an angel. It's not a good man. It's Christ, the Messiah. It's Christ, the anointed of God. It is Christ, God's only begotten Son. You remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 8? For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent His Son. That's the teaching of the Word of God. And redemption is found in the person of Jesus Christ, and in the person of Jesus Christ alone. What does redemption mean? It means to purchase by paying the price. It's a picture of the slave market in Roman times, when men and women would be paraded before the wealthy, and the wealthy would bid, and the wealthy would buy. They would pay the purchase price. But you know, there's a beautiful difference between the redemption from the slave market in Rome and the redemption that the Apostle Paul writes about. Because in the slave market in Rome, the slave went from being the slave of one person to being the slave of another. And whoever would pay the price could own that person as a slave. But when we come to the redemption that is in the New Testament, that is the redemption through the blood of Christ, it is that He paid the price and set us free. And let me make this clear, there is no freedom outside of Christ. You're always going to be a slave unless you are redeemed by the only person who could ever be the Redeemer. And let me make this clear to you. No one is ever going to be in heaven who has not been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. And let me say this, no one is ever going to be in hell who was redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. You see, beloved, when the Word of God says, Christ hath redeemed us, it sets forth the only person who could redeem. And it sets forth the price that was necessary that we might be redeemed. The Apostle Peter says we're not redeemed with corruptible things, from the vain traditions delivered to us by our fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. When the Word of God says Christ hath redeemed us, it means that Christ paid all that was needed to be paid. He paid it in blood, His own blood. I was talking to someone last week and I said to them that one of the sweetest thoughts I've ever had from Scripture is that they bought Jesus for 30 pieces of silver and He bought me with His precious blood. You know, beloved, the price of redemption could never have been paid by anyone else. That's why the hymn writer says, "My Redeemer, oh, what beauties in that lovely name appear. None but Jesus in His glory can that honored title wear. No one else." But you know, it doesn't just tell us the person and tell us the price. It tells us the pathway of redemption. Listen to what it says. "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us." That's the great doctrine of substitution. Not only did He take my place, He took all my sin. And He took all the wrath of God that was due to my sin. And He took the place of the accursed. How? By becoming accursed for me. You know, beloved, mankind could never have thought up a doctrine like the doctrine of substitution in the New Testament. The heart of man could never have dreamed or conceived the Son of God being cursed for me. Being made a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." Where is it written? Turn back with me to Deuteronomy chapter 21. In verse 22, "And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death," and every sin against God is worthy of eternal death, "and he be put to death, thou shalt hang him on a tree. His body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance." A sin that is unto death. A man that is hanged on a tree. The Apostle Paul writes of the Son of God, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree." Psalm 22, a messianic psalm speaking of the death of Christ. It says, "They pierced my hands and my feet." How did they pierce his hands and his feet? They nailed him to a tree. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 21, you'll find that the death by hanging is a death that indicates that you are so guilty that you are not worthy to die upon the earth. and the fact that you touch the earth would defile the earth. And yet the Apostle Paul writes about the Lord Jesus that he hanged upon a tree. But beloved, I want you to grasp something this morning. It doesn't say Christ is redeeming us from the curse of the law. And it doesn't say Christ will redeem us from the curse of the law. It says Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. What does that mean? It means that in the eyes of God, the work that Jesus came to do, the work that Jesus did, was perfect and acceptable and sufficient. That God can look upon the person of His Son, who was made a curse for me, and He can remove the curse that was mine, because of the precious blood that was shed for me. I can't improve upon that work. I wouldn't even know where to begin to try. Let me tell you what took place in the Old Testament when the offering was being offered for sin. The priest would lay the offering on the altar, and he would take the knife, and he would raise the knife. And the person who brought the offering would take his hands, and he would lay it on the head of the sacrifice. What was he doing? He was identifying that this sacrifice is being offered for me. And all the merits of this sacrifice are being given to me. And with his hands upon the head of the offering, the priest would slay the offering upon the altar. How do you come to know that Christ hath redeemed you? By the personal application of the work that He has done. Oh, I remember the night that I got saved. I probably couldn't have quoted more than two or three Bible verses. So God didn't save me for my theology. You know what I knew? I knew that I was a sinner before God. And I knew that that night there was a Savior who died, was standing with his hands wide open, and he was saying, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." And you know, it took me years to realize it. But I thank God for the truth of it, that that night, way back in September 1966, God opened my heart to see that Jesus could save me, and I received Jesus as my Savior personally. And it took me years to realize that at that very moment He received me. I want you to grasp that. It's not just that by the Holy Spirit working in my heart, I was able to receive Christ. But He received a sinner like me. And when the Apostle Paul writes, "Christ hath redeemed us," I can say, "Thank God, that's me." Because that night I laid my hands spiritually upon the head of the one who was willing to die in my place. And I said, Father, I have no merits of my own. I'm a sinner. But I claim all the merits of the one who died for me. Do you know, from that day, God looks down and he sees me as a forgiven sinner, a cleansed sinner, a justified sinner. Why? Because when the Word of God tells us that Jesus became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, that death of the cross was applied to me by God. The salvation that he provided became mine because of what he had done. My time is gone. Those of us who were saved this morning, we can lift our hearts and we can say, Father, thank you that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. But if you're in the meeting this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're still depending on the works of the law. And all the works of the law can ever bring is the curse of God. Jesus said one day, there's going to be a day when people are going to come and say to him, Lord, Lord, I did all these wonderful works in your name. I even prophesied in your name. And Jesus speaks to them some of the saddest words in the whole Bible. He says, on that day I'm going to say to them, depart from me. I never knew you. There was never a time in your life when you received me and I received you. You're not mine. You know, that can all be changed this morning. For every sinner that will come, Jesus will save. And he will save eternally. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. I want to give an opportunity this morning for anyone in the meeting who doesn't know the Lord. I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up or get up and come forward or do anything like that. That won't save you. But I am going to plead with you. Speak to us at the back. Let us show you from the Word of God how you can be saved. If God has spoken to your heart, don't dismiss what he says. No better time to get saved than right now. Father, we pray that any in this meeting who know not Christ, that today you would be merciful to them. Today you would bring them to know the Savior. That you would bring them to know the one who died to redeem sinners from the curse of the law. To do this, he was willing to hang upon a tree. We thank thee, our Father, that this is thy work. We cannot cause an anxious thought, but by thy Spirit, thou canst bring sinners to thyself. Save, we pray. before it is too late. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord Joe, let's sing 205.
205.
Christ hath redeemed me.